We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, Brevard County. How are you doing today? This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. I have the privilege of being the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. It's a new church. It's only been there for 62 and a half years, and we would love to have you come and join, be a part of us. If you don't have a church home, find one. You'll love doing business with Jesus, and so we want to thank you for tuning in today. It's our privilege to bring the Word of God to you, and want to say thank you, first of all, to Jits Concrete. They're local concrete contractors. And they do concrete, block work, stucco work. And if you have any need of services of that variety, I encourage you to give them a call, 536-5804, 536-5804. They will do a great job for you. They have been in the industry for quite some time, and they're not a fly-by-night organization. I can tell you that all of the work that they have done for us in the past has been first quality. You'll appreciate doing business with them. So 536-5804, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So I want to share just a verse with you this morning, then we're going to get into our topic that we have been discussing on deliverance. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Could we just start off today's program by doing that, by giving thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to his name, and to declare his loving kindnesses in the morning, commit ourselves to declaring his faithfulness tonight. Father, we just want to give thanks to you right now. Lord, not just for our salvation, but we want to thank you for your lordship, for leading us, for guiding us, for watching over us, for protecting us, O God, for giving us your word that empowers us. Lord, it is a great thing for you to be the Lord of our life. We praise the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are the Most High God. We thank you, God, for your great love for us, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Father, I want to thank you that today, it's not just a repeat of your love for yesterday, but your mercies are brand new today. I praise you today. I thank you for that loving kindness that you showed to us. And Lord, tonight we're going to declare that you have been faithful today, that you will be faithful tomorrow, that you have been faithful even when we were unfaithful, for you cannot deny yourself, Lord. Thank you for being a faithful God. So anyway, I just wanted to share that verse with you this morning, get the day started off on the right note. Today we're going to go back to Romans chapter 7. I'm going to try and read this passage to the best of my ability, but it changes so quickly that if I read it too fast, I may stumble and bumble a little bit. But we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 of Romans chapter 7, and it says this: "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I'd find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to add one more thing to what we were discussing the past couple of days, and that is that the effect that sin has on us, some of the things that it does, we have talked about that sin takes opportunity. It produces evil desires. It deceives us. It kills, and it because it is revived. We drop on down into verse number 13, and we see that it becomes exceedingly sinful, that it dwells in us, that it just has all sorts of things that it produces in us, none of which are good. And in verse number 14, it tells us that that we can be sold under sin. That sin will sell us out. Once Satan has used us up to where we no longer have any benefit to him, then he's willing to sell us out. You see, the thing is, I've been bought, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am not to be sold as a slave on the old slave markets as they used to have, but instead I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as long as those nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ are sitting upon the throne in heaven, then I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. I belong to Jesus, and he is not interested in selling me. He's not interested in trading me. He is interested in keeping me and spending eternity with me. He's interested in preparing a place for us that where he is, there we might be also. So I want to ask you today, what kind of master, authority do you want in your life? Do you want authority that as soon as you have no purpose to them, just as soon as you are no longer an asset to them, but you have shifted to being either neutral or to a liability, that they're going to sell you out? Or would you rather serve someone who said, you know what, you are so valuable to me that I am willing to give all that I have, my most precious son, I'm willing to give him to you. That's the type of God that I want to serve. That's the type of love that I want to declare each and every morning. So it goes on here, and from verses 15 on down to verse number 23, we realize this conflict that is going on inside of Paul. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. There are things that happen and things that we do. Now I want you to know that Paul is not describing himself as a victim here. He is discussing the war that is going on inside the various aspects of his being. How many of you are like me out there and you want to lose weight? I've told you, you know, I'm not the most overweight person. I'm not the most overweight I've ever been, but I also still need to lose weight. And so I've got that as an objective, but it's not always my highest priority. You see, on Sunday when they did pastor appreciation, there was some banana pudding that just needed to be eaten. You know what I'm saying? It was there, and I didn't eat a whole bunch of it. I mean, we had a potluck dinner, and everybody came, and so what I try and do is I try and get one little spoonful that everybody has brought. That way, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to sample the things. I have discovered incredible dishes at some of our potluck dinners. I truly am a full gospel preacher, especially after one of our potluck dinners. And so, there's this objective that I have, that I want to lose weight. And then at times I can partake of things and say, why did I derail myself from my objective in order to partake of that? You say, well, is really, you know, indulging in dessert from, you know, is that really something that lines up with this? I want you to know that it's the same mindset. Remember, sin will take whatever opportunity you give it. And if you procrastinate long enough, if you continue to push the objective away, sooner or later, even if it is just something as overeating a little bit from time to time, you will eventually become larger and larger, and it will eventually kill you. And so what Paul is saying here, he says, I don't understand what I'm doing. There are times where our behavior will make no sense to us, especially if we have given an opportunity to sin. He says, the reason that I don't understand is, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. That I do not practice. And so you and I, we need to realize that we need God's help in order to live a righteous and holy life. I cannot just discipline myself to make it happen. Now, listen, I am all for spiritual discipline. I you know, God disciplines those that he loves. So I am all in favor of keeping myself under control and exercising self-control, but I realize that I need God's help. The Bible says that it is impossible for us to even maintain perfect control over our tongue. We need God's help to be able to do that. And so if we're talking something as simple as that, as I can't believe I said that, you know, coming out of our mouth, then we should realize that in every area, no matter what we are dealing with, what we are struggling with, we need God's help in order to bring that under control. And he says, for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. I will tell you this, that we need to once again revive a mindset of holiness where we hate sin. We hate practicing sin. We hate the effect that it has on us. There are a lot of people who hate sin in other people, but they have not yet brought that into a personal situation where they hate the sin that trips them up. And so Jesus, he said, you know, you need to be careful about trying to deal with the speck in someone else's life when you have a plank in your own eye. Right now I'm undergoing physical therapy. I'm very excited because I've been released from the restricted range of motion physical therapy, and now it's unrestricted, and it is about restoring the functionality and the strength to my shoulder. So my physical therapist, I had a meeting with her last week, and she gave me new exercises to do. And there were a couple of exercises that as I began to do them, she said, come over here to the mirror, and I want you to look at yourself in the mirror when you do this exercise. Now, I thought that I was doing the exercise right where I was, but she said, now look at yourself, look at your right shoulder, look at your left shoulder, and those two things should look the same. And when I began to look, I realized that they were not looking the same. So when I do that exercise, I now look in a mirror. I have to position my wrists the right way. I position my shoulders the right way. and I position my elbows the right way. And I, when I see the reflection in there that the therapist has told me that I need to see, then I know that I am doing what I'm supposed to do. But what happens is when we are trying to do things without an act or without a reflection of what is actually going on, we will compensate in areas of our life and we'll end up doing things the improper way or not the way that we're supposed to be doing them. The Bible calls itself a mirror. And there are a lot of people who are, you know, trying to control their own selves, but they don't, they're not looking, they're not seeing an accurate reflection of what things look like in the mirror of God's Word. You know, I don't know about you, but I kind of like those mirrors that make you look taller and thinner than you actually are. But the problem is, they're not an accurate reflection of who you are. So I really am most thankful for a mirror that gives me an actual accurate reflection. And so if then I do, verse number 16, Paul says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is no, or that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And so sin, if we do not develop that mindset of hatred, it will, if we don't develop that mindset, we will develop a mindset of tolerance. We will develop a mindset of acceptance of it, and we will lower the threshold. I've got some young men that I meet with, and they talk to me about some of their aspirations and how, you know, they want to, you know, do certain things in life. And I said, well, let me tell you about what I know about people who have achieved the level of performance that you are talking about in that area. I said, here's the thing I know about them. They do not take shortcuts. They do not take shortcuts. They realize that a shortcut actually will cost them more in the long run than it will in the short run, than it'll benefit them in the short run. And so they realize that whatever amount of effort, whatever amount of study, whatever amount of development they have to put into it, that's what they're going to do because they are looking for the long-term rewards. And so you and I, we need to realize that sin will eventually, if we allow it to exist in us and to dwell inside of us, that it will compel us to do things that we don't want to do. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, or perform what is good, I do not find. There's an old saying that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions, that people want to do something good. But Paul said, here's what I realize, that in me, in my flesh, there is nothing good that dwells. Apart from God, there is nothing good in us. They came to Jesus one day and they said, good master. And he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And today, if I can tell you, you know, you may have some wonderful attributes, but there's not any goodness in them. You will use those attributes for negative effects apart from God. We need God's help. We need his lordship. We need his lordship over our intellect. We need his lordship over our physical bodies, over our emotions, over our mind. We need his lordship. So the best thing to realize is to come to grips with the fact that apart from God, there's nothing good that dwells in us. There's no, you don't have to teach a toddler to throw a temper tantrum. They have that skill just kind of innately inside of them. You don't have to teach them to say the word mine. You don't have to teach them to say the word no. I don't know how they develop it, but they just kind of get it on their own. But we do have the capability to be born again where Jesus takes dominion over that and he enables us to do what we could no longer or what we could have never done on our own. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Today, at the very beginning of the day, can we just make it a prayer? God, would you use us for your glory today? Would you use us to accomplish your goals for today, to build your kingdom? Would you refine us and make us more like Jesus? We need that to be birthed in our will today. We need to embrace the will of God, but you need to realize that when you have made that decision, that evil is going to rise up. The devil is going to rise up and oppose you and go to war against you to try and prevent you from accomplishing those goals. Verse number 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. So there's this war going on between this mind that wants to do good and the members that want to sin and be sold into captivity. Verse number 24, Paul says this, O wretched man that I am. And so I looked up that word, wretched. And you know, when I look at that word, I see something that is completely evil. That's what I look at. As you know, I see something that is no good. This word, according to the Greek lexicon on my Bible program, it says the word miserable and enduring trial. And today, if you are listening to this, the devil may be beating you up with the definition of wretched that I used, in that you're thinking of yourself as this horrible failure of a person, and the devil is trying to beat you down with condemnation and using such words of what a lousy Christian you are. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. I want you to know that's not what the lexicon said that this word means. It means that miserable going through a trial, enduring a trial. There is a violent contest that is going on, and Paul is saying, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Today, if you are miserable, there's part of you that wants holiness and there's part of you that is practicing unrighteousness. Today, I want you to know that Paul found the solution. Paul found the solution. And it says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He realized what the ultimate result was going to be, and that was death. If you know, right now, if someone was here in this studio and they took my right arm and they bound it, and they took my right leg and they bound it, and they took my left arm and bound it, and my left leg and they bound it, and they began to pull in opposite directions, even if I resisted with my right arm and then I resisted with my left arm, but the constant tension being pulled farther, you know, one side being pulled farther away from the other, it would eventually kill me. At that point in time, I don't care who you are, if all of your extremities are being pulled away, you are not going to be able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You are not going to be able to deliver yourself. You are completely captive to this conflict that is waging in your innermost being. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This conflict, this struggle. And so he realized what the solution was, and that was that he needed deliverance. And I was so encouraged because I looked up the meaning of that word deliver, and once again, it means like a rushing current of water, like a rushing current of water. You see, if they took me and they had me stretched in between trees, and all of a sudden a flood could come in and uproot those trees. And then the chains would no longer affect me the way that they are. And Paul said, I need deliverance. I need this. I need for someone to come in like a rushing flood of water and deliver me from this struggle of my mind versus my members. I need somebody to come in so I can be set free to do what I actually want to do. Today, if that sounds like what you have been going through, where the devil wants to beat you up and make you feel like a complete and total failure, and then when that happens, there is another thought, there's another temptation that he comes and brings. If you have succumbed to temptation, then he says this, well, if you have failed already, you might as well fail big. Just go ahead and fail as large as you want to, because God's already turned his back on you. I want you to know, that's not, listen, if the devil has a solution for you, it is not a solution, it is a deeper trap. You and I, we need to cry out to Jesus. Here's what Paul said. Who will deliver me from this body of death? It sounds absolutely hopeless, but listen to how verse number 25 goes. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, God will come in like a mighty rushing flood. He will raise up a standard. That standard is not going to be my mind. It's not going to be my flesh. It's not going to be the devil. It's not going to be what is popular. The standard that he is going to raise up is Jesus Christ. He has already been exalted to the highest place. The standard is already in place. If you want deliverance today, deliverance is available. But you need to develop that mindset. God, I don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. I don't want to toy with it. I don't want to cave into it. I don't want to give opportunity to sin. I need deliverance. I want it to be completely removed from my being. You know what? If I was an alcoholic, I'm not, thank the Lord, but I wouldn't have a drop of alcohol in my house. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be creating an opportunity for that temptation to raise up again. I get, you know, if there's something that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on and says, I want that out of your life, I get it out of my life, I get it out of my house, I get it out of everything that I can get it out of, because I want victory. Let me pray for you today, because Jesus Christ can bring you victory, and he can bring unity into your body, cooperating with the renewing of your mind. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. Lord, if there are people who are undergoing great struggles right now today, I pray that you would bring them great victory by bringing them great deliverance. Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.